to trust God. And after allowing the Israelites to leave, the Pharaoh's heart had hardened. And due to the Pharaoh's stubbornness, the plagues were released upon Egypt. The Egyptian gods were challenged over and over, and it became very recognizable that God's power was shining through it all, and that God's power was stronger. Starting at verse 1, Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Phi Harophath, between Midgol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and lost their services." And so he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. Over 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea of Phi Haroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." If you go back to verse 13, it reads, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians will see you see today will never you will never see again." I love that. The Lord will bring you deliverance today. I don't know how they were thinking, but I would have been thinking, 600 Egyptian chariots running after us, bearing down on us, between this desert and the sea, and here we are, we're crying in despair. But Moses was asking them to stand firm. He stood on the promises of God. God has the ability to bring good out of any situation. He has the capability to calm our fears and to help our confidence to be renewed and he just has this ability to be with us when we are feeling our smallest and our weakest. But worry certainly is a normal part of our lives, right? Sometimes it's a daily thing, sometimes each week something pops up. But too much worry is not good. It can lead to the denial of God's presence and grace. And worry can erode our own faith and rob us of joy. And it's the joy of anticipating God's faithful provisions that helps us to get through our daily lives. When worry overwhelms you, turn to Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store any in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry erodes our faith. Worry robs us of our joy in God's love. When you do feel overwhelmed, ask yourself, is it important? Some small issues can certainly consume our lives. I remember always thinking, I don't know who taught me this, will it matter in a week? Will it matter in 2 weeks? Will you overcome this in a week? Is it important? Is it helpful? Worrying is very counterproductive. Is it important? Is it helpful? Who is in charge? God is in control. Take the time to notice God's love all around you. I put in some extra time praying for Gerald and May and Ellen and my mom, because my mother was just very tired at bedtime, very tired, and questioning, is this what it's going to be like for the rest of my life? Kind of feeling very sad, very tired. And so we took the time to look around and at our blessings. She has a husband who loves her. She's living in a safe place. She has children who care for her. She has friends who call her. She's been getting get-well cards from her friends and from her sisters in the mail. We just took the time to remember all of the little blessings. There were many of them, and we need to do that when we're feeling sullen and worrying. If you look back at verse 14, it reminds us of the power of God. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Do not get to the point where you feel the world is closing in on you. And when you are still, remember to pray. God wants you to rest in Him. He loves each one of us. And He will fight for you. God will never forsake you. We need to be still and let God know that you are listening to Him, and let Him lead you. We get to verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." It's kind of like God was saying, okay, stop praying and get moving, right? Stop praying and get moving. Prayer has to be followed up by obedient actions. Move forward in a positive way. When God shows you what to do, then it is time to get moving. Continue to ask for guidance, but do not suffer from failure to act. Right? Pray, be still, be silent. but then move forward. God will lead you. Listen for what he wants you to do. Move forward with those obedient actions. When God opens a door, walk through it. If the door doesn't open, look for the open window. There will be a way forward. James 5:16 reads, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Praying together. What a blessing that we each have the opportunity to offer or to ask for prayers from our church on a Sunday morning or through the prayer line, the phone. That is such a gift. Pray for one another continuously. God hears and responds to prayer. Rely on God. Listen to God's promises. Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is close to all who call on him." We're in those valleys. He's close to us. Closer than ever when we're in those valleys. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen." Can you envision that? He bends down to listen to us. Pray to him. Psalm 118, verse 5. "In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free." Wow. You've heard my life stories, the amount of times that I really, really was broken, and Jesus set me free. When my children were sick, when he went through a divorce, on and on, changing jobs. The Lord set me free. He brought me here to be at Wellspring Church. Don't forget to look back. Don't forget to look back and remember those things that got you to move forward. My father and I watched a program last night about the soldiers who went into Hiroshima after the bombs were released and what they've gone through and what they've done and how they've moved forward. It was absolutely an amazing program that we watched, and Dad and I kind of went through why it had to happen. We're not really in charge. God is in charge. Some evil, evil things were happening, and we used evil to fight back evil. And it happened, and we are to look back and learn lessons from that. And I don't think I ever realized that our men and women were in there helping to rebuild, helping with the health aids and the things that they saw at that time. Just amazing. So I give thanks for people who move forward in times of stress and duress, and the Americans that went there to help those people to move forward. They all were relying on God. They all needed the strength of the Lord to get through what they saw and help those people to move forward. And they came back with stress. Most of them are in their hundreds. There are very few left of those soldiers that were there. They came back with stress, and they seemed to all turn to the Lord to carry on. And for us, we are to find strength in God, just as the Israelites did. God took the lead as the Israelites were reminded of the great power of God. The Israelites, who had the best chariots and soldiers chasing them to the end of the land, they were able to cross and walk across on dry grounds through the Red Sea, and they were saved. God doesn't always remove challenges, but he opens ways for us to navigate through them. Thank you, Lord. With our strength in him, with support from Christian friends, he will always give us a way to navigate through. How do we move forward? Relying on our strength. The first thing to do is to acknowledge that we are weak. We have limitations. We need help. Ask for prayer. God is our direct line for an intervention. He is our direct line for asking for strength and guidance and courage. Rely on your faith. Don't turn from your faith. Trust in God's ability to provide. Trust that he is there in every difficult situation. And make a commitment to persevere, to get through your challenges, to rely on God as you move forward. So, but God said to the Israelites, okay, you've said your prayer, now get moving, right? Take those good, positive steps forward. Your prayers have great power. Your prayers connect you with God's will. And with God, we have strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in need of your strength. Life can be overwhelming, and at times we feel weak and unsure. We ask that you fill us with your grace and love and peace. Give us the courage to face any challenge that may come our way this week, next week. Help us to remember that you, dear God, that you can do all things. Guide us, Lord, and strengthen us with your power. In your name, amen. Would anyone like to add to the service? Or ask anyone have a question about the service this morning?
Just thinking about the verse says, the Lord will bring you through the verse today. All you need to do is still. And then the next verse says, why are you standing there more or less? Do something.
Yeah.
Both.
Yes.
Waiting, praying, and then
listening to him for him.
Moving out of faith.
Absolutely.
And in Acts chapter 1, the disciple, when Jesus ascends up to heaven, the angel appears to him. He's just standing there looking up at heaven. And he
yes.
says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking at the sky? It's the same message.
Right.
Get moving.
Yeah. Yeah, when the Lord speaks, when you have that confidence of faith in your heart. I'm sure there are many times where people were paralyzed, like in fear or wonderment, right? I think about servicemen and what they're asked to do and, you know, having faith and trusting God and moving forward. God bless them. If you're ever in a car accident, sometimes you fear, you're just in fear of what just happened, and pray and move forward. Sometimes your body is just tired, right? We're just tired, and you need to pray and listen to what God says. And if he says, get up and call a friend, or get up and sweep your floor, get up and do it. Pray, listen, and then get going. This is a little sign I had in my office. It says, the thing you can't stop worrying about, verbally give it to the Lord right now. say out loud, God, this is hard for me. I feel like I have more control if I keep worrying about this thing. But I fully give this worry over to you. I trust you with this. You are good, and you are good at being God. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He is good at being God, right? Amen. Have a blessed week, everyone.